Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. Okay. Those of you that are just logging on to the podcast, we welcome you to Metron. And now we're officially going to get started with the YouTube broadcast. What do you call it? Broadcast? What are you doing? A vidcast? It's a casting. We're doing something.
Livecast.
That's good. I like it. Okay. All right. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to In the Now with Jim Swilly. And I would like for you to please welcome our very special guest today, Prophet Calvin Witcher. Would you say hello to Calvin?
Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for being here.
Hello.
Hello.
Good to see you. If you are watching us via YouTube, we're coming to you live from Metron. And we're honored to have Calvin back with us again. And I'm just going to get right into it. Let me just say this for the Metron people. I am still in the middle of a series, but next Sunday will be part 6 of that. So just hold that thought, and we'll be back there. I'm sure some of what we're going to talk about today will be influenced by what we're talking about this month, because it always, when Spirit puts it all together, the Holy Spirit is the divine officer of protocol.
Absolutely.
And sometimes you think something is a fluke or whatever, and then you think, oh, wow, that really... Well, even something like you being here, this
wasn't planned.
It wasn't planned. It just happened that Pastor Judah's here with us this month and that you're here, and it worked out. So we already see a lot of synchronicity happening. Let me get right into this. I wanted to show you this verse of Scripture, and then I'm going to pitch it to Prophet Calvin, and we're going to talk a little bit. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Solomon had some issues. I think he was bipolar.
Major issues. Yeah.
He had 700 wives and 300 concubines.
Well, that part was a bat.
But once in a while, he would tap in and just say some amazing things. And chapter 3 of what we call chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes is probably his crowning achievement. The first 8 verses, of course, is the very classic to everything there is a season.
Complaining.
You're familiar with that verse. This is, I believe, verse 50. Verse 11 is where he has planted eternity in men's hearts. I mean, some very, very cool ideas. This one is Ecclesiastes 3:15, and this is from the Amplified Classic. When you see AMPC, that's the Amplified's been updated a little bit. I prefer the Classic. But let me just show you how it says it here in Ecclesiastes 3:15, the Amplified. It says, "That which is now already has been, and that which is to be already has been, and God seeks that which has passed by so that history repeats itself." Go. What meaneth
this? You all think
this
is funny, but this is actually very true. Like, it's always very spontaneous. And what do you say, prophet? So,
this is what's interesting about it. This is the reason I want to talk about this. And let me tell you why I use this verse. I want to bring some clarity about prophetic ministry because I am very much about teaching people next level.
Yes.
Not just sitting around waiting, thinking that God's up to something, but that you have the power, the divine has created divinity. So I try to steer people away from, trying to figure out what God's up to. I would rather say God's looking at you saying, what are you up to? And I know you believe that.
Yes.
But I also know that there are some things that are happening in your life that are beyond your control. So I want to find where is the balance, because the reason I want to ask you this is there was a time in my history with prophets is people depended so much on just tell me what's going to happen. I know you even do tarot card readings. It's very interesting how you have married that and with no apology. I think it's not something I know a lot about, but I think it's very interesting, and I love that you're not afraid of it because, from my background, I think even from your background, that kind of thing was frowned upon. Whereas now we realize, well, prophetic is prophetic. I mean, the knowledge of the Lord fills all the earth. What I'm asking you is, where do we find the balance between going to a prophet and saying, tell me what's going to happen, do you understand what I'm saying?
No,
where
it's interesting.
It takes the responsibility away from somebody, because sometimes people put it out there to say, well, I got this prophetic word, that I'm getting. Like Kim Clement prophesied I was going to get $1 billion. Well, what does that mean? Somebody's going to write me a check for $1 billion? No. Probably what it means is I have the ability to create wealth, and there might be a potential to take it that far. It's not just this absolute that's floating out there in space that's going to come to me. Prophecy speaks to our potential. What this says is everything is everything. What is now has been. What is going to be. It's all now. Mm-hmm. We're living in the now. So just flow a little bit on that.
Well, it's interesting because even the first part of that, that which is now already has been, and that which is to be already has been, is actually one and the same. It's actually the same word, kavah. So it's interesting. To us, we don't really understand that because you would never say, like, Calvin, you know, or store. You would not say it that way. So the structure of that is even interesting because the connotation is that which was in past is in the now, and that which is in the forward is also in the now. So it actually negates that which is we're moving forward into, and that which we've moved from. We're here. We're in the space of now. So to bridge that into the prophetic, it's interesting. I will say I'm at this stage of my old age, I guess, in the prophetic, where I guess I'm not too thrilled by a lot of the prophetic is actually two parts, too. There's actually a foretelling, and then there's a telling forth part. Most people get stuck on the foretelling. You're going to get a house. God knows your name. Spirit should know your name. Hopefully you know your name, and if you don't, we need to seek help with that. Spirit knows your address, and I've done that before, and it's great. A lot of this is mostly awareness. I'm very keen on the atmosphere, the people that are there. And some things with the prophetic is very much predictive. And some people don't like to talk about that because they think it pulls away from the spiritual. But there is very much a mentalism that goes into it.
Which, by the way, I don't remember if I told you this. Hold that thought.
Yes.
But last time you were here, you gave a word to somebody and you mentioned something about they had just lost a loved one. And the guy didn't know his father had died that morning. He didn't have his phone on and had not heard that. So you had tapped into that, but the point was
not predicting
there's a death. It's the point was there's a word for you,
right?
But the fact that you were accurate about something that had happened that he didn't even know had happened sort of validated that so that he could receive the word. Go ahead.
No, that's perfect. And I tell people, like, you need to take notes with me, because when I am there, and most of my team knows when I kind of tune in, I'm just there. So make sure you take notes. And so that's a really interesting state, because that's definitely a foretelling. It's like that which I'm seeing, I'm definitely aware, I'm picking up on it. And then there's sometimes that spirit kicks in and says, shut up. And that's the other side of it, which is very much the novice prophet, I would say, is very much keen on, what do I need to tell you? What do I need to say to the people? It's very focused on that because there's a big performance driven, especially because many people don't believe. And so you have this weird egoic thing that you have to teach people and train people how to believe. And I'm kind of just beyond that. And so the other side of that is to not say, what do I need to tell people, but what do I need to hear? So there's a extreme amount of silence. There's an extreme amount of waiting. Sometimes you'll see me looking down, not because I'm scared or whatever. It's just because I'm tapping in on my hearing to say, what is important now? And so you do. And I'll say, so that's definitely the first part of the prophetic, which is very much the telling forth. The other part is, or the foretelling. The next part is telling forth, which is what's in you. Let me pull it out of you and mirror it to you so you see what your future is. Or what I like to say is what your possibilities are. And that's the interesting thing about the prophetic, is that most of the time, most of what I think Spirit is presenting are possibilities. That which was in the past, we experience, we understand, a prophet brings clarity. You went through this crappy time in 2008, and Spirit wants you to know that it was because of A, B, and C, that which was. That which is coming is that you have a house coming to you. You have your family that's going to be coming, and they're going to be saved, you know, pulled out of drugs, whatever the situation is, that which is for. But all of that's happening now. The future actually is quite irrelevant in many different cases. That which is coming and that which was is both here and now. It's interesting because we say all these scriptures, and I love the scriptures, and I quote them a lot, but we don't really understand a lot of the power beyond it. I said this on a live stream this week, that the problem with a lot of the church, synagogue, sanghas, whatever you want to call them now, is that we no offense, we went through this season of very pastorally driven information. Pastorals are based upon relationships, and prophets are based upon revelation. There's a difference. And so when you look at the scriptures in a relationship-driven thing, you become very, very personally invested in the process. God becomes yours, spirit becomes yours. It's the only way that it can be. Prophets don't really see it from that perspective. God belongs to you, and God belongs to you, and God belongs to you. God was there. He's going to be there. She's everywhere. It is what it is, in a sense. So when you go back to certain scriptures, like in the beginning, God created. There's this process where God is thinking, God's imagining, and God then spoke. The interesting thing is God is not progressively speaking. It just doesn't happen that way. In the spiritual world, you don't even operate that way. You already have your Monday planned out. You're already planning to be frustrated tonight. You already know what you're doing for vacation. You're doing so many things that you are planning, but you're already there in Cancun. It's already happened. That which is to come is now. So when God speaks a word, he speaks all words. And the thing about the prophetic is understanding that this has already been spoken. It's already been created. I'm just helping you to understand which path do you want to go in the creation. So it forces you to be extremely aware at every particular avenue, because this, again, was not planned, but maybe it was. It was predestined before the foundation of the world, because many things had to happen. Someone had to make this suit. I had to get this from Nepal. This place had to be built.
And aren't there's a multiverse.
There's a multiverse.
There are parallel realities. This day could have gone any number of ways.
And still can't.
Like there's a skeletal outline of it, but then we add the flesh and bones. These bones can live again.
Absolutely.
And they, you know, we're constantly speaking the dead to life and you know, making things come alive. But this, like you said, this day can go any number of ways. I am curious when you say Cancun and gestured that direction. Were you prophesying somebody's going to Cancun? Because I think a couple of people were trying to grab it.
So we were talking about Cancun, right? Something
okay.
With the sea.
All right. Anyway, go ahead.
You'll know when I start prophesying.
I didn't mean to interrupt your flow.
No, it's okay. We can always pull the flow back in. It's okay. So from that particular dynamic, you don't get hung up in any particular situation, because all things work for the good for them that love God, that are called to the purpose of the path. So anything can happen. I love it. It's fine. You can imagine however where you need to go. So things like sickness and sadness and frustration and even death cease to exist in that space. And it seems weird, and I will admit, it seems a little cold and callous, which is where a lot of prophets weren't taught over the years, that when you reach that certain level of spirituality, emotions just drop off. There's no, even we say God is love. Spiritually speaking, what does that mean? God is all. So in a sense, God is love and God is not love at the same time. God is void of it. He's not possessive of it. God's not, you know, on Prozac and somehow is selfish and somehow is needy and needs all these things. He's got to be. He's not defined by that. And so on the prophetic side of things, you learn to look at life very much in this scripture, that what was past needed to be there, and it was part of my journey.
It's very interesting you said that. finish your thought, because you just opened three windows in
my
head.
No, it's fine. What happened in the past needed to happen. Now I'll say the theological, you know, consequences of that I understand, because then you have to wrestle with things like cancer and death and frustration and child abuse and molestation. And I get that. And so I'm always very careful, especially on a prophetic level, to guard what I say. And even then, I will still say yes. It was, at some level, it was needed. Because there are plenty of people, even though you may not have the revelation of it, that lost their child by a drunk driver, and then all of a sudden they created new laws that changed the course of the future, what is then.
Yeah.
What is now in this present state. So all of those, for someone that is aware, going back to that state, you start to understand, how can I find purpose in this rather than what is the purpose of this? It shifts your perspective. Because I'm not looking at anything I did in the past as a detriment. I'm looking at it as a different revelation of God figuring out God's self. And it becomes a game.
That's processing the sixth day before you enter the seventh day.
Oh, do we talk about that? Oh, very, very good. So it becomes this processing chamber, and my mind is going all of the time. I'm never without a word, because you're never without a word. This is the fun thing. I don't have to prophesy, because you're always projecting something out there. Really, all I'm saying is, oh, I heard what you said. But you heard what you said. So in a sense, it's not really mysterious at all.
Hold that thought for part two.
Yes, part two.
But I want to say this before we go, because what you just said about God is love, God is not love. This is very interesting, because
someone's upset,
a
I'm
few
sure
minutes ago, when Judah sang, you know, he sang Imagine. Then he went into Blessed Assurance. And I was noticing people's reaction. There's something in us that wants to worship a higher power. Yes. I could tell people are really hungry for this, you know, and they wanted to worship. So I think, well, yeah, I get that. I wanted to do it. I wanted to raise my hands. I wanted to worship. By the same token, you think, wow, was God that needy that he had to create beings to tell him how wonderful he was? Because that kind of sounds, you know, that's what you wanted? Is like, talk about yes people. It's like, I want people to tell me how wonderful I am. And there's a balance. The truth is somewhere in between those two things. Something in me, it's like, I want to take responsibility for my life, but I need a higher power. So when you sing Blessed Assurance, it's not just a soulish response. Something in me wants to be assured in something bigger than me. But by the same token, I don't want to spend my whole time worshiping, because I think, well, that's not what God wanted. God wanted to strengthen me so that I could go do what I'm supposed to do.
Right.
When you say, I just want to spend all day long in worship, I don't think God would want that. I mean, you know what I mean? We all love love and affection and sex and all that kind of stuff, but you don't want it all the time. You know what I mean? If somebody said, I just want to lay in this bed with you all day long, you'd be like, well, at some point...
Preach, Bish.
We probably... Preach. I mean, it's good, but, you know, don't you want to, like, take a break? Like, why don't we get up and brush our teeth? And let's go get something to eat, you know, and I'll meet you later. But so, no, all I want to do is love you all the time. Not really. You know, ladies, you know, what's really hot is a guy that's got a job,
wow.
You know? You know, you say... I just want a man that loves me all day long. No, you kind of want a man that loves you and then get up and goes to work. That's sexy.
Go get that coin. Yes.
Anyway, we have a lot to say. This is what you call a cliffhanger. We will see you next time on In the Now with Jim Swilley. Tell Pastor Prophet Calvin that we're happy he's here today. That was good.
I'm going to call you pastor since you're dogging out the pastors.
It's all good. Pastors can be prophetic.
They
prophets can be pastoral.
Absolutely.
That was good.
That was good, mister.
Don't leave me hanging. I'm fist bumping you.
I would never.
And you're leaving me hanging.
Oh, boom. Oh.
Okay.
You got to pick the right timing.
That was good. Are we ready for part two?
Good.
Okay.
You said something. It's good.
Welcome to part two of what did we title this? Think. Seeing the future. What if I would just turn around and look? I could see. Seeing the future, creating the future. If you're just tuning in, you might want to go back to part one of this to give you some context. I'm not going to go back and show that scripture because we've already recorded that. But it's if you are taking notes or whatever, it's Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 15. We're using the translation out of the Amplified Classic. What we're talking about, and man, we were in a... You open up so many windows in my head, it's like the light is shining out of my head. Got my third eyes going, all of it's happening here. What were you just saying there at the end of part one?
Oh, my goodness. Back, see, I'm in a now.
You're in the
now
state.
That's in the past.
We were talking about what is, how things come around. I had ended it, because I know I kind of threw you a curve on the end of part one there about what you said, God is love, God is all. And we're talking about the tension between I don't need to worship, I do need to worship. Somewhere in between there is the reality.
Absolutely. And I would say probably if I had to hinge most of my philosophy or ministry or work on anything, it's probably transitions that, you know, everything is in a state of flux. Everything is shifting and evolving into this new and interesting and not new thing. So you just never get hung up in any particular thing. I have found that most people, especially from a Judeo-Christian background, tend to think too emotionally when it comes to their life and with spirit. And it's just interesting because we look at the scriptures very... anthropomorphic, in a sense that we're attributing all these, you know, human qualities to this God or this being, which you oftentimes have a problem with. So this week, I have a group on Facebook, and someone mentioned, I think some of you are here, so she mentioned the scripture. She says, I was reading the scriptures, and she's very metaphysical, gems, and the whole nine yards, but Spirit asked her to read the scriptures. I think it's great. And I know the scriptures a little bit. And so she got to this part in the scripture that it said, God is a jealous God. in Exodus, and she didn't like it. God is a jealous God. And I said, oh, you shouldn't be upset about that at all. Let me unpack that for you, because all your preachers and pastors preach that completely wrong. Let me explain what God is jealous means. First of all, that wasn't really even the translation of that. Actually, it meant God is very loyal to you. That was actually the original translation. If anything, switch out God is a jealous God. The Lord is jealous, who is a jealous God. That's actually the translation. I said, so first of all, you understand which God you're getting. He said his name. It's like saying someone is an Aries. You know their type A personality. I'm an Aries. There's no hidden factor. There's no hidden agenda. That's great about the God that you're talking about. Number two, switch out jealous for loyal, or switch out jealous for zealous. Here's the problem. Everybody wants the
we
God.
It sounds so much better.
It sounds so much better.
You know, God's mad at me. He's a
but
jealous
here's the interesting
God.
Thing.
You worship Baal.
People
and I'm
say
mad.
They don't want a partner that's jealous until they feel insignificant or they don't feel special. And then you look at your
that's
spouse and say,
it.
Why are you not jealous of me? Why do you not think about me when you leave? Why do you not long for me when you go on vacation? Because I'm not jealous. Remember, that's not what you wanted me to be. So I posted back to the group. I said, this is the challenge of thinking too emotionally with the scripture that has a lot of power behind it. You're too much in your emotion, actually pushing your God away from you. I said, so here's the thing. If you want a God that's powerful, parting the Red Sea, turning water into wine, this is a complete package, baby. It all comes together. And the level of power and dunamis that goes into parting the Red Sea is the same way that God loves.
Yeah.
He loves jealously. It's powerful.
Yeah,
it's strong.
Yeah.
I don't want you with anyone else, with another God. I want you all to myself. Who wouldn't want a God like that? Screw that whole God is a jealous thing. Your thinking is off. Give me the God that says, I will totally rend the seas for you. Don't even think about worshiping another God because I got
now.
You. I can handle that God. These other gods, I don't understand.
Yes.
They're weird to me.
No,
because if you have all power, I want the God that says, listen, you're going to allow me to work so powerfully in your life that I will tear down every plane from the sky. I will totally wreck your whole life. And I'm okay with it. And I say that very prophetically aware of what I'm saying. I had to understand that years ago. Give me that because it's a package deal. There's no separation from it. So even if I say God is jealous in the negative sense, I'm okay with that. Because it's like the bulldog. You know, the bulldog is okay when he's yours, but he's not okay when he's not yours. So give me the God that even is the bulldog because I can work with that.
Right.
Which everyone wants this God that's powerful and that speaks to you. That's here's the interesting thing. Do you realize how it is to be a prophet? I mean, let's be real. Spirit is always speaking. There's a channel that's kind of always open, and things are always shifting. So I was doing a reading this week, and I started my readings out the exact same way. I said, listen, you probably have never had a reading like this. It's probably going to be interesting. You probably should take notes, because once I start, it may be an hour, maybe an hour and a half. I don't know. I'll just stop when I'm done. And I said, it works best. And I said, I don't mean to be mean. It just sounds best if you just leave me alone. Just let me talk, and I'm good. So I'm talking to her, and I said, oh, this is interesting. I said, I see a partner. Oh, wait a minute. You have two partners. She starts laughing. I said, no judgment. I really don't care. And she tells me later she's got two boyfriends, and it's all cute and wonderful. And it goes into this other situation. I said, oh, your grandmother's coming through, but not the grandmother you like. I said, I know you don't want to hear that. The grandmother that died earlier, she's got black hair. It's a little short. She's a little firecracker kind of thing. You didn't have a really good relationship with her. I said, but the one that you were really good with, she also died not too long ago. She's not here right now. I said, so I know you came in here to talk about this, but these are also the other things that came through. That happens all the time. And if you don't understand that, I want to hear from Spirit. Well, Spirit is everywhere. And it's interesting. Spirit is not shifting. It's weird. We have this weird concept, again, too emotional with the scriptures, that if, okay, God is everywhere, omnipotent, omnipresent, you know, the whole thing we say. Well, if I'm here, then I'm here. I'm not omnipresent. So in a sense, we have this weird concept with Spirit that Spirit is here and then there the next minute. Spirit is here when I need Spirit, but then when I'm here and I don't need Spirit, Spirit is not here. Well, that goes against or is counter theological to say God is everywhere. So I have to understand that even in the bedroom, Spirit is there. As weird as that sounds, but it's true. It's that same level of awareness to please your spouse that goes into pleasing someone that you're speaking to in a reading. It's the same level of awareness that goes into being at a party that says someone needs help getting the ice. And to do that, so it does take a lot of the ego out of it because it's not about the position, it's about the perspective.
Right.
So tying this back in with life. you start looking at life in this really interesting thing that none of this is too difficult. None of this is that big of a deal. You lost a job. That's great. It's part of the path that you needed to find a different perspective of it. Maybe you lost a job because you were supposed to start a business 2 years ago, but you didn't. And this is Spirit's nice way of being jealous of wanting more attention in your life to get you on that path. That's okay. Same thing with a breakup. Same thing. I talked about this with shamanic healing this week, that sometimes people are sick because you're meant to be a healer. And how better way to make you more empathic or sympathetic than to actually heal yourself, to understand what it's like to be sick. I know what it's like for Spirit not to speak, so I become very tenacious when Spirit gets quiet.
Right.
It's weird to me. It's also very sympathetic for me because I can see someone in their life, and when they're off, they're aimless, they're lost, I know what that's like. And I'm not going to cry. I know what it's like to say, God is gone. God is lost. And I'll say, you know what? You'd be surprised. God is everywhere through this situation. And if I could pull it out of you, I'm not giving you anything that's new. There's nothing new under the sun. I'm not giving you anything that's new. I'm simply just revealing what's in you so you remind yourself of the reason you came here at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That is, if anything, a level of master level prophecy is me reminding you that before God knew you, you were. That there is a plan for you to prosper you, to make sure that you have a great end. That all of these other things are but temporary transitions in your life. And that's okay. It makes it, and I will say, if you want to add some human emotional characteristics to it, it makes you look at things like grief and anger and frustration in a completely different light.
Yeah.
Be angry. Be angry that you want to help more people not experience this. You know,
right.
If you're going to be angry, do it in a progressive way. If you're going to be mad that we can't help more people in the Pay It Forward program. Which is why I say that we need more millionaires that are conscious-minded people for things like Pay It Forward. Then we could just walk into the Kroger or the Publix and say, talk to the manager, say, everyone that's in here for the whole day, we've got the tab. Just go at it.
Yeah.
Now, I know that sounds weird to say, but that's just how I think
and
how I process. I love hospitals. I love doctors that are called to that profession, and sometimes I just want to, you know, make them unemployed. I just want to go into the hospital and say it's completely clear. Turn it into a spa or something else, and that's great. And again, that's not negating someone else's purpose, but that is to say that we live beneath our means simply because we spend too much time trying to figure out why this didn't go right and why did this happen and this person died. And maybe being a medium helps me with this because they're always there. They're just in a different form. To me, it's like someone changing the color of their hair. You wouldn't say, oh my God, Susie is, she's a new person. No, she's got blonde hair now. She was a brunette. We just don't process it.
You
that
may
way.
Be seeing her differently, but you're she's who she always was.
And here's the interesting thing, and I'm going to shut up.
No. I love it. You're flowing.
Most people are wanting God to be this broad thing to them anyway, to be ever present with them. So someone may not like this, but I say a lot of things that are offensive, but just work with me here. That sometimes it's a matter of saying, well, I don't feel connected to God there, but I feel connected with God through my mother. So in order for me to translate the love of God, going back to that conversation, into something that's tangible, I will remove the form of godliness and stop denying the power that's in my mother or my cousin or my aunt, because now I don't see my mother, but I feel her.
Right.
And so many times we have to allow this experience of life to shed. These are just sleeves. These are just weird little sleeves. And we shed that, and then people say, you know what? I felt closer with God now that my mom's gone. My mom is always with me. My aunt is always with me. She's always talking to me. And that's how you needed to translate, I needed to feel God more powerfully with me. I'm not diminishing the sadness whatsoever, but I am saying you translated God in a way that made sense.
No doubt about it.
For you.
No doubt about it. I remember back, that's good stuff.
Yeah.
I haven't heard this a lot, but a few people over the years came to me and said, I don't know if this is okay or not, but I feel like when I hear God speak to me, it sounds like your voice. Is that a problem? And I would say, well, you're going to have to discern it. It's because you've heard God speak through me to you.
Right.
And, you know, allow the process to happen, because eventually you will wean off of my voice and you will hear God directly. But if that's your secret place of the Most High, then don't resist it. That's okay. And that's for mature audiences only, because it sounds right. like that sounds pretty out there. You know, you think you should say, don't you get us confused. He's God and I'm me. But then I think about when you're talking about the real meaning of the jealous God. We talk here a lot about how God created us, but we're creating God. Jesus said, who do you say that I am? Right. Well, David was a man after God's own heart, because he said things like, you know my down sitting and my uprising. There's not a word in my tongue that you don't. I mean, he kept saying, God, you are just crazy about right. me. And guess what? God was. And that's why John comes along in the New Testament and says, if our heart condemns us not, we have confidence before God. Okay. It's not, you know, if you want God to be crazy about you, then be amazing. You know what I mean? We've gotten so used to, if it weren't for the grace of God, he couldn't stomach me. I have a completely different idea about that. I'm like, of course God loves me. What's not to love?
Of course.
And I feel that way about my kids. I mean, I loved my kids before they were born. I mean, I remember picking out their names and thinking, oh, they're going to be great. And as soon as they were born, it's like, yeah, there they are. They didn't have to sell me on the mm-hmm. idea.
Right.
And you know, we're constantly in a creative call and response all the time.
It's interesting. I'll unpack that for you. It's okay. People can send me hate emails.
No, so I'm going to review. I'm going to pastor you. Stop saying that. You're not. Stop saying you're offensive.
I love it. No, it's good.
Because I had to stop saying, now this is controversial, but because then you set it up. Right.
I understand
what you're saying. Say something like, this is out of the box.
This is going to be very out of the box. So okay. Let me go ahead and say this. I love what you said regarding that they heard your voice. I would actually encourage that they need to hear your voice. In this sense, going back to scripture, my sheep know my voice and a stranger they will not follow. So the goal of the pastorate is that you hear my voice and follow it. And if you don't hear my voice in your ear, then you are lost. You are wandering. That defeats the whole purpose of teaching at the base level. That's one. Two, Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He goes on later to say, I pray that you make them one with you as I am one with you. I'm just quoting scripture here. So if I bridge all of that together, if Jesus and God, Spirit, however you want to say that, are one. And if the prayer is that I am one with Jesus, Jesus is one with the Father, there's this weird, interesting triangle that we're all one. Later goes on to say, greater work shall you do, even greater than Jesus. So even me saying that I am better, I have more power, I have more awareness that allows me to do greater things like walking on water, greater things like calling the dead out of a tomb, greater things like turning water into wine, that's not against scripture. That's what the scripture actually says. So then if Jesus says, a stranger they would not follow, then it's okay for me to tell my people, a stranger they would not follow, you should be hearing my voice. And if you don't hear my voice, you're not of this fold. You're following someone else. And the challenge becomes with that on the teaching level is that I'm not going to teach you through somebody else's revelation. You follow my revelation, because what it turns into is I'm teaching you, but you're guiding your conversation and your life based upon what Joel Osteen said. And if you like Joel Osteen that much, you need to go down to Houston and be under his ministry, because I'm not sitting here coaching you through somebody else's philosophy. You need to hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow, because that's scripture. Even when Jesus looked at his disciples and said, are you going to leave too? Because I said a wonderfully hard thing.
Right.
Well, where are we going to go? You have the words of knowledge. You have the words of life.
And I know that's true. And I know there are so many lost people out there because of something in their mind they can't get past. But they're still hearing somebody else's voice. But because that's your...
And it's a training.
That's your shepherd. You're still trying to follow them, but you're lost.
Right.
And it's aggravating because... You're in another reality, but you're hearing this voice calling you into a different reality, and you can't get past your tradition or whatever, and it's making the word none effect.
Right.
That's some good stuff.
It is. And that's why I say if whichever voice you listen or hear is actually the voice of your master. It is the voice of your teacher. If you don't like the teaching, then you need to find another teacher. If we want to talk about magic and some other stuff, this is like law 101. You've got to be able to have a louder voice that circumvents the other voice. So many people have this, and you should. I hear my mother's voice all the time. I hear my grandmother's voice. She's passed on in 2009 and beyond. I hear them all the time, but I should train up a child in the way that they should go, that when they're old, they won't depart out of it. That, again, scripture. That's actually the way it should be. So if I am not in my daily guidance system hearing my mom speak and say, boy, don't you do that, or my grandmother say, I taught you better than that, she was not my mother. She was not my grandmother, and I know that she is because I hear her all the time. So the same thing with spirit. You can't tell me the spirit doesn't work in me because I hear spirit too much.
Right.
So although you're saying that it's sacrilegious or not scripture, I would have to contest that because I know spirit's voice.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting. It's like you telling me,
no doubt,
that's not your mom, but we look like, we talk alike. We have the same mannerisms. There's no way it could be anything other than that. So even with your people, of course, your bishop's kids.
I mentioned this last week and didn't realize the woman was actually here. I don't think she's, or maybe she's here today. Sometimes I can't see back there. But somebody who's having an issue because their father passed away and something about the estate, there's issues going mm-hmm. on. And I could tell, I was counseling and she was hearing me, but it was like we hadn't found the real answer until I said, why don't you ask him? Why don't you ask your father? I said, do you ever talk to him? And she said, well, actually I do. I said, well, he's still alive. Why don't you tell him you need justice in this situation? And I could tell once I said that, oh, like there was the release. Like, oh, well, I'll do that. I said, yeah, I mean, I can counsel with you, but he's still alive. He still is just in another dimension. Tell him that somebody's trying to steal what he was supposed to leave to you and your brother. And she's like, got it. And I thought, well, that's a very good, sane way to counsel. Because sometimes when you say, just listen for God, people don't know how to listen for God. They, you know,
people don't know God to listen to God, and that's the challenge. But you know your mom.
Right.
It's a lot easier for me to say, what would your mom think? She's like, what would your mom say? Because you'll listen to your mom more than you will listen to God. You have no concept of God. It's too abstract, and you haven't built up a relationship in it because you have these other things that God needs to fit into. Yeah. And God's not working, and then you're mad that you built the box that God's not working into.
And not everybody has that luxury because some people had horrible relationships with their mother or didn't know
Absolutely.
Their mother, whatever. So that doesn't work for everybody. It might work for somebody else, somebody that spoke something to you, and you're like, that's it. That was what I was waiting to hear. That's why I've told people for years in pastoring, if you have to come here and wrestle with, I don't know if this is my church or not, I can tell you right now,
it's not your church.
You would have known, if I was your pastor, you would have known it the first time you heard me. Chandra said something I really love. She said, Larry had come to church first. They're not here today, but he had come first. And he said, I think I found our pastor. She said, well, I got to hear that from me. I respect you, but I got to hear. And she said, as soon as I heard you, she said, I was having such a good time. She said, and you all know what I mean by this. She said, I didn't even think, oh, he's white. She said, I didn't even think about it. Somebody later said, is he a white man? And she said, oh, yeah, he is. And I don't believe that when people say, I don't even see color, that's baloney. Everybody sees color. Of course you do.
Yeah.
But what she was saying is, the voice she was picking up on was transcending her religious tradition.
Yes.
And
okay.
She said it was a no-brainer for me. She says, I knew immediately, oh, well, yeah, you're right. This is our pastor. And
right.
and that's why when I started this, she says, oh, well, we have to go. We don't live in Atlanta, but that's where you are, where you're our pastor. That's not, there's no contending for that. You know, like, well, that's where the voice is. So I have to go to where, I have to go find the voice. Man, that's some good stuff.
Yeah.
And you all in your heart know this already. It's
right.
A confirmation.
Right.
You know, I love that. Everything is everything.
And there's nothing to be afraid of. If God is that powerful, I am 35-ish, something like that. God's had 35 years to take me out.
So, exactly.
So either God is
exactly.
really screwing this thing up and trying to take me out, or God's not that powerful, or I'm more powerful than God.
Child, please.
So, I would say to anyone, if God hated my philosophy and teaching that much, do you know how many planes I've been on that could have dropped out of the sky? It hasn't happened yet.
I can't tell you how many times back in the day I have said, when people say, you better rein it in or whatever, and I would say, look, God can take me out anytime he wants to. You know, and I said, if I ever drop over, you can say, well, he finally went too far. You know, we love it. But I said, as of yet, this Wednesday will be 46 years. If there is a God, he's been like, yeah, that's good. And it's somehow it's been confirmed with signs following and, you know, I threw some people a curve now and then, but basically, people, once they got their balance again, they said, okay, that's, you know, I still hear the voice. Like you said, somebody bleaches their hair and you go, you look so different. No, you're just seeing them with blonde hair. If I told you something different about me that made you perceive me differently, it didn't change the voice. The voice was established.
Absolutely. We're good? Okay, great. So I will say,
give me about one more minute and we'll wrap.
Simply about understanding that if you're not connecting with spirit, then that is an internal conversation. That is an internal problem, if you want to say it that way. It's an internal awareness issue. A lot of what I like to bring to the table is saying, listen, it's honestly not that big of a deal. Or you need to stop reading the scripture because what you're saying you believe, you don't believe that. And I know that sometimes that sounds very hard to say, but you need to study the Nag Hammadi or the Bhagavad Gita or the Vedas, or you need to study something else other than the scriptures, because I have a hard time studying the scriptures, especially when you go down to the context of it.
Right.
And someone says, well, we're just not meant to do that. Or God doesn't do that anymore.
Right.
Or God would be mad if you did that. Why? Do you know how many galaxies and universes there are in there? And there's
and how many scriptures contradict each other? That's why even, you know, Mary Carroll, I was doing her show. She's ended the show and she's moved to Chattanooga. But one of the shows we did was around Christmas. And she told me It's a Wonderful Life. She says, I'm embarrassed to tell people this, but sometimes if I'm going through something, I'll get that movie out and watch it. I think, should I be reading the Bible, whatever? I said, no, in that case, that movie is what speaks to you.
Absolutely.
I would say, make some popcorn and watch the movie. That's going to speak to you a whole lot more than you looking at a Bible and going, where do I start? And I'm not against the Bible. I'm just saying sometimes it has it for you. But, you know, I don't know if y'all ever done that thing back in the day. I used to do it where you'd
open up
and point your finger. And sometimes you'd be like, well, that can't be it. That isn't it at all.
Try again.
That sounds better. Nope, that ain't it. Try again. And so that's why, you know, at a certain point you realize this scripture is beautiful, but it is a mirror to reflect the word that is already written on my heart, that was written from the foundation of the world. And when it pleased the Lord who separated me from my mother's womb, he revealed his son in me. And I found out the word had been written in me all along.
Right.
So that I have my Bible. I'm not going to throw my Bible away. But really, when I need truth, I'm going to go inside and I'm going to listen to myself. I'm going to meditate. Sometimes, you know, just being quiet allows you to hear the word that's already there. That's some good stuff.
That's good.
Hold it.
Comma.
Please tell Prophet Calvin Witcher how much we appreciate him being with us today. Those of you who have logged on, we will see you next time on In the Now with Jim Swilly. Peace. All right.
Can you stand up? You need some water?
Oh, got it. Dance party. Running? No, we don't do running.
Good stuff, man. Yeah. Yeah. You on fire.
Yeah. You're on fire, man. I'm just following you.
Bish. That's my new word. I love it.
You better recognize.
I saw that online one time. I was like, can I say that? I was like, oh, bishop. Okay. What'd you think I meant?
Okay. Biash.
Oh.
That's what you think. I know where you were going with that.
See? Got a little hood in you. Gonna be good.
I've heard many people of color tell me I am one of them. I've never heard anybody say you are more a man of color than I am. That was a first. Mm-hmm. Remember, Judah was a teenager. We'll start in a minute. He and I were going to see a movie at Stonecrest. You remember this? And this black guy walks by and he says to Judah, "Hello, my N-word." And so we kept walking. I said, "Did he just call you the N-word?" And he said, "Yeah." He means it affectionately. And I'm like, I'm offended at this, but I'm going to go complain to the black manager. Somebody just called my son the N-word. You know, like, we're the only two white people in here. And he was like, no, that's like, I'm like, you know, he was like honored by it. I said, I have a real problem with that word. I don't like somebody calling you that. This is too weird. Black Lives Matter. Come on. I don't mean to be irreverent about that. I'm just saying, you know, it's like, it's when you get next level, things change, and you find out everybody's everybody.
Yeah. Everybody's everybody.
Of course, like I told you the day, we're all Africans. I mean, if you really, if you go back to the source of the first humans that they ever found, was somewhere around Uganda, somewhere around the Nile River. So those of us who live in America are all African American. Yes. A lot of people don't think that. So I'm from Europe. Well, you're from Africa via Europe. All right, good stuff. We ready? Welcome to In the Now with Jim Swilly. This is part three of our series with Prophet Calvin Witcher. Would you please welcome him once again? Glad that he's here. If you're just seeing this part three, please go back and watch the previous two parts to give you some context. We're talking about prophetic words. Specifically, our title is Seeing the Future, Creating the Future. I would tell you what we've been talking about, but we've been talking about everything. So where we were last time, we were talking about prophetic words, we're talking about God. You were specifically talking about when God speaks and sometimes it sounds like the voice of, not, doesn't just sound like the voice of a mother or a father, it is the voice of them. They are alive. Like even, we may have talked about this when you were before, but when, remember when Saul went to the like, Witch of Endor? Mm-hmm. Which is where, Bewitched, her mother's name was Endora, that's where that came from. Mm-hmm. But she was a medium, and she channeled Samuel. Mm-hmm. Samuel the prophet, and allowed Saul to have a conversation with him, and it was what it was. I mean, Solomon was still alive, and Saul basically said, "I need to know what was it that you prophesied," and he couldn't get that in the temple. He had to go find a witch. That's interesting, and you know something else. I don't know if I ever told you this before.
Might be doing part four.
But years ago, and I don't want to eat into your time, but years ago. This just made such an impression on me. I ran a branch of a Bible college just a few blocks from here, and that's how I met Robert Rutherford. He was a student in my 1981 class of New Life Bible College, and so back then we were very evangelical and going out in the streets and getting people saved and everything. And there were a lot of right around here were a lot of cults and all kind of stuff. So at the end of the school day, a lot of the students were very zealous, would go to some of these places to try to get people delivered or whatever. One of them was the House of Ravenswood with a Wicca. It was down there on Moreland Drive. It's right next to the Starbucks I go to a lot, and so Robert and another pastor went there because they, in their mind at the time, and Robert would laugh about this now because we're so evolved from this now, but they were going to go try to get this woman delivered. So they go in, and the witch meets them and brings them in, and so they're talking, and she's like very gracious and sweet. Well, they start praying, and Robert starts praying in the spirit, like speaking in tongues. Well, she knows what he's saying. Like they're thinking...
Oh, yeah.
They think that her head's going to explode. Like, they're expecting demonic manifestation. Her head's going to spin. And she's like, oh, that's a beautiful language. That's a really... He said, you know what I'm saying? She says, yes, the language of love. It's a very old language. Mm-hmm. And she starts interpreting back to him what he's saying. Now, that you talk about messing with your tradition. You're like, you're not doing it right. Your head's supposed to be spinning. You're supposed... Demons supposed to be coming out of you when I say shandala bakaya darasa. And she's like right with it. And I remember back then, that was one of those moments where your brain goes, I'm not there yet, but I think I just learned something that my future self is really going to understand that in a way that my current self can't quite comprehend. But something just shifted in me when you told me that, because I was taught that witches were of the devil and they're burned at the stake. Well, you read... Galatians, Paul says, well, witchcraft is one of the works of the flesh. I mean, it's just having power over someone else. That's why we talk about casting a spell on someone. But it doesn't necessarily have to be negative. Well, the scripture says stubbornness is as the sin of witchcraft. Yeah, it is. Sometimes it can be. Just like religion can be horrible. There's all kind of things that can be positive, can be. Mm-hmm. You decide if you see it through the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, if it's going to be... The fact is, it's neither good nor evil. It just is.
And you're right. It is a work of the flesh. It's something that you do with your hands. So even with magic, it is something that, thank you, it is something that you do very actively. But even the scriptures talk about work out your own soul salvation. If so, if you want to argue the fact, even the scriptures talks about that you need to actually do witchcraft in a sense of working out the things that you need in your life. I can play that conversation with you as well. So it makes sense that even the witch would understand what was happening because she's working out her own soul salvation. Witchcraft, that's all witchcraft is being able to consciously work things in the natural to affect that which is coming forward or in your present state. I can understand that. This is why the scriptures even say a person that doesn't work doesn't eat. You don't do the magic, you don't get the manifestation.
Right. It's like
it's synonymous.
Did you ever do the thing where you say, I'm going to read somebody's palm, you see that
the M?
You see that M? Yeah. It means you're going to have money in your life. Turn it upside down, you see that W? It means you got to work for it.
I've never heard that one.
That's our prophetic word, you know. And that's the thing about prophetic words that can be generic in to say, you've been through some stuff lately. Well, duh, everybody's been through some stuff. There's sometimes you feel like giving up. But then there's other times, like you said, we were joking last night. You said something to me, and you said, I'm going to judge you for that. I said, it didn't work. I'm judgment-proof.
Honestly,
I don't even like to energize this kind of stuff, but day before yesterday, I don't ever look at my, what you call your fan page, but I looked over there, and somebody had they actually said, you are a horrible blasphemer. I don't know how you look at yourself every day in the mirror, but one day you will face God, and it will not be good. And I looked and I thought,
just laugh.
Wow, settle down, sweetie. And I was like, block. And it's like, there was a day that would have really messed me up. And I thought, oh, I'd be called horrible blasphemer in a minute. Like, it was neither good nor bad. I thought, well, in your consciousness, in your reality, you see someone like me as a horrible blasphemer. So there's no point in me getting online with you and contending and showing you how many scriptures I know, because I'm not going to, you're under the spell of the religion that brought you up. So you got to work it out, and somehow we'll all end up at the same place. Right. You're not even a bad person. It's why Jesus could rebuke the Pharisees and call them snakes and vipers and whitewashed sepulchres full of dead man's bones, and in the same breath say, the kingdom of God is within you. Right. It's not either or. It's not us versus them. It's not whitewashed sepulchres go to hell. It's, no, they just don't know yet that the kingdom is within them. And eventually, listen, it's going to set you free so much about your loved ones that you're concerned about. I'm not saying you should be blasé if they've got issues. I'm just saying, they'll get it eventually.
They will.
You know, people say, please pray for so-and-so. Well, okay, I'm in agreement with you, but he'll get it. I mean, he may have to go through some turbulence. He may even have to bottom out, but he'll get it. And it's like last night, I said, well, we'll take you to your hotel. Where are you going? He said, I'm at the Indigo Hotel. Well, when he said that, I didn't realize Indigo was a chain. He said that, I immediately thought he meant the one on Peachtree Street that's a couple of blocks from here. I said, oh, well, if that's where you are, we'll just take you. I said, I can pick you up in the morning. Well, we drive all the way here. He said, this isn't it. I said, where is it? Well, it was in Vinings, the one because that's what they had put on for people coming in town. And I said, you know what? It makes sense. I can see why you would do that. I just gave you a nice little tour of Atlanta, and you know,
which I appreciate.
But the point is, we still ended up at your hotel. We could have
gotten there.
We could have gotten there 25 minutes earlier, but we still got there. I mean, it was what it was. Was it an aggravation? No, it was a lesson learned. Next time somebody says that, I will know to say, you mean the one on Peachtree Street, and not just assume that wasn't your fault. That was my fault. I should have said, what's the address? But I didn't. So it was a valuable lesson learned. We had a nice little drive.
We did.
I showed you the Fox Theater. We drove around. Then we drove right back to where we just were, inviting. But the fact is we got there. And everybody eventually will get there.
Yeah. Speaking of frustration, I love that. It's a good segue in bridging everything together. I see God, and when I say God, like collectively everything together, frustrated with us a lot. And here's why. Mostly because we're frustrated with us. If we're honest, most of us are very frustrated. We even if you have level of success, even with me, I'm like, well, I should be, you know, the ambassador to Uganda right now, or I should be with President Trump as his spiritual advisor. Thoughts away. or something like that. So even me, it's very much that Paulinian conversation of I have not yet obtained, but I press towards the mark. I think we live in a level of frustration, but it makes sense because I feel that God lives in a level of frustration in this case. If I had to say the prophetic is has one down, one bad side to it, is that when I see people, I rarely see where they are. It's just very rare, maybe 1% of the time. I am always seeing the potential, the possibilities, the paths to get there. So I am about 6 years or 7 years or 10 years down the road. And then I see what they're saying, or I hear what they're saying, I see where they are, and then it becomes very frustrating because I'm like, well, do you realize that two years from now, we'll be having a whole different conversation.
And that's the point of that's why I brought up the scripture new. That's precisely the point. Because here's the thing, you only have X amount of time, and just because it's been prophesied over you doesn't mean it's an absolute. You've got to make the prophecy come to pass.
Absolutely.
Because if you just say, oh, so-and-so prophesied was going to happen, and you kick it in neutral, baby, it ain't going to happen. I know people that have been waiting for 30 years for a prophetic word to happen. The prophetic speaks to the potential. Very, very.
It speaks to the potential. And I will say that's what I've, especially you have to train young prophets. Because
you can go through your expiration date.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can say, well, I was supposed to, I used to say, well, I can't die till all my prophetic words are fulfilled. And now I think, I'm about to turn 60. I got to make some of these, but then, I can't just say, la, 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 all these prophecies are going to come true. Well, baby, you got some time. You got to make some prophecies come to pass.
Right.
It's like, well, who is it? Is it Emerson that said build castles in the air? And then, or was it, it was one of those two guys. Either, he says build castles in the air and then build foundations under them. Mm. Anyway, somebody look that up.
So, yes, I see the prophetic very much as I'm in the future, God's in the future, really trying to say, come over here. Here are a couple of possibilities. Now, here's the thing I like about this. While it's not set in stone, there are some things that are pretty much concrete. We made a contract with the universe before we came here. I can give you a really good example. How many of you, by show of hands, want to be a pirate when you grow up? One. It's always one in the group. One. Pretty much no one raised their hand. That's not a potential path for anyone here. You don't have a conscious understanding of it. You've never seen it. There's no revelation of it. There's no path of attainment. So it doesn't even make sense for me to prophesy, in 4 days, you're going to be a pirate. Maybe if you go down to the store and buy a costume, we can make that prophecy come true. But we know that's not what we're talking about. So anytime that I speak or Spirit speaks to you, Spirit always speaks to things that which are possibilities. How many of you, by a show of hands, want to be wealthy in the next 2 years? Now, let me define that even more. How many of you in the next 2 years want to be making six figures a year? Now, this is a good example because this is how prophecy can shift. Now, there's probably someone that didn't raise their hand because they're like, well, I'm already making six figures a year. So it's no longer prophecy, it is present. So even though it's a prophecy, to the general mass, it's very universal truth. To one other person, I'm already living in that. So it's different. Versus someone else, as soon as I said $100,000, what you started seeing, you didn't see, a cash or a stack of $100,000. You started seeing a house and how it would affect your family and all of the things that you would do with it and the vacations you would go on. So if you are able to think of that, it means that part of the future has already been written, or else you wouldn't have an imagination of it. Just like no one in this room has ever thought about, I want to be a pirate when I grow up. You've never thought about wearing the whole eye patch. It's not part of your conscious path. So in that, I tell people that if you have the crazy gall to imagine it, everything's already laid out for you. The people, the businesses, the situation that you stopped at the red light at this time, the accident happened, you got out to help them, and they tended to be a millionaire. And all these things are already present. The frustrating thing about the prophetic is that if I can get you out of now into the awareness of now and out of your past into this now state and get you focused on what you want, it's not even... It's beyond faith because I'm just telling you to just keep walking. Keep going.
What's so amazing about how prophecy works, I've used Oprah a lot as an example of this, but I've said most women that came from where Oprah came from don't end up like her.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's rare for a African-American woman who was born in the 50s in the rural South,
with the abuse,
who was sexually assaulted, mm-hmm. to become a billionaire mogul. And you know what changed for her? She didn't even have that much of an exceptional childhood. But she said when she was in fifth grade, she gave an oral report, and she just sold it. She just spoke really well, whatever. And she loved her teacher, and her teacher said, you ought to consider going into broadcasting. You sound really good when you talk. And she said, nobody had ever said anything positive to me. I mean, all I had ever heard was, you know, it sucks to be you. And then suddenly somebody said, you could, just that simple thing, you really, you kept everybody's attention, you spoke well, you had a good stage presence. She said, my whole life changed after that. Just to show you that, wow, that was within somebody's, that could be in a lot of people's potential. I'm not saying everybody has a future in broadcasting, but I love the idea. And what you said a minute ago when you said you nearly got emotional, I said this last week, I was listening to an interview with Streisand, and somebody was saying, did you always know you were going to be this iconic megastar? She said, yeah. She said, even things as simple as, I hated to make up my bed when I was a little girl, and I thought, I'll have to become rich and famous and pay somebody to make up my bed. She said, I know that sounds really simple, but I just thought, well, I'll just have to do that. She said, and yet, I'm riddled with self-doubt. She said, I've always known I was this person, but she said, I second-guess a lot of stuff, too. And I thought, well, that's kind of interesting that you have the tension between those two things, which is why you need prophecy to pull you back into remember who you are.
Remember who you are.
Because every word gets tested. You know, even you were talking about the thing about prophets. I remember I was with, I know this is name-dropping, but I was with Kim Clement and Mark Sharona one time, and they were joking about what it means to be a prophet. And they said that when you're a prophet, you don't see what's going on in your life. You see what's happening in everybody else's life. So when you meet somebody, you go, well, you're fine. How am I? I don't know that that's true for every prophet, but it was true for them.
You know, it's not easy living with the prophet. It's definitely not easy being with one. So I can attest to some of that.
And that may not be monolithic. That might not be true for everybody. Yeah. That was because I know some things people say about pastors or bishops. I think, well, that's not really true for me. I mean, I don't, that's not my reality. But I love the idea of speaking to potential. Yeah. We're coming to a close here. This has been amazing. I have loved everything that you've said, and I'm so glad we get to record it, because sometimes, you know, if you just say it and then later you think, they said so many good things. What were they? The great thing about this is you can go back and look at it, you can pause it, you can rewind it, or whatever. And it's, and these words, there might be somebody, we're recording this in what we know of as the year 2018, but there may be somebody watching this in 2030 it's going to change their life, and they're going to change the world. We might not even in our lifetime see what this day is going to do. It may have long-reaching effect. And when you start understanding your eternalness, I mean, I want to get as far as I can in my 120 years as I can.
That's good.
But beyond that, eventually when I do check out here, I believe that things like this will live on. My books will live on. My paintings will live on. Your words will live on. Yeah. That's why it's good. I was talking to Jonah last night about why I take so many pictures. And I said, every day goes by so fast, I just want to capture it. I want to remember. I want to memorialize every day. One day last week, Olivia was eating a popsicle, and she was just, you know, like skipping around. And I was taking a picture of her, and she said, Poppy, why do you take so many pictures of me? I said, I know you're too young to understand this, but this afternoon, you look like this. I'm going to blink, and you'll be 21. You won't look like this again. So I'm sorry I'm invading your privacy, but Poppy's going to take a picture, because I'm going to remember what it looked like when you had your hair in braids, and you were eating a popsicle, and it was on this very mundane Monday afternoon in the year 2018. I didn't say all that to her, but I'm just saying, that's why I want to freeze it. And that's why today I want to capture this word. And that's so amazing when the spiritual and the supernatural comes together with, well, maybe technology is supernatural. You know, John said he saw a world that didn't have any sea. Mm-hmm. So we have a world now that, you know, somebody could be streaming this on the other side of the planet as we're saying this. Okay. So technically there's no sea anymore.
Absolutely.
Jackie was just saying broadcasting means something. It's not just cast your nets. It's cast your internets. That's some good stuff.
That's good. Spirit just brought this back to my remembrance, because I don't think we actually covered it, but it was said about worshiping God. Yeah. And I don't think we unpacked that. the concept of worshiping God, I've had to really reframe, or over the years, because I was, I mean, we both were brought up in a sense of there's an external God, you must worship it because it's, you know, low self-esteem and all this other stuff. I've come to really reframe that in so many different ways, in that we all, I think we all need encouragement. I think we all need vision. I think we all need focus. The sinner, the saint, the witch, the whatever, that we all need something to be able to say, you did a good job. Worship allows for us to get outside of ourselves and step into the future and say, wow, you did a good job. God, thank you for setting these things up for me. And though I am not aware of it yet, I appreciate it. Thank you, me, for having the courage to have faith to step forward. So even as you're worshiping God, you're worshiping the collectivity of all that's happened. I'm worshiping the driver that stopped and said hi. I'm worshiping, you know, the pastor that said this. I'm worshiping this other person. So God becomes this really interesting thing. So I can say you are great and you do miracles. I can say you are holy, because it has nothing to do with, oh, God has low self-esteem. It's to say that we did this.
Yeah.
Look at us. We took this path and we succeeded. We could have stopped. You are worthy. We worship you.
I love it.
That's, and it's great, because am I worshiping God, or is God worshiping me for actually taking the step forward?
Well, even just the, he's saying the words blessed assurance. The word assurance has a great vibration on it. I felt empowered saying, I am assured that Jesus is mine. I mean, my definition of him might have changed. All the more reason I have a blessed assurance. It might not be the Jesus you follow, but I got a blessed assurance that my Jesus is mine. You can enjoy him if you want to, but oh, what a that is the foretaste. A foretaste of glory divine. What?
What?
Don't make me slap you right here on live streaming.
Okay, slap the bish.
Don't bish slap me. All right. Anyway. Yeah,
only
I said
here.
It. Because you were already here. Thinking it. I just said it. This has been this has been so good, and it will not, I prophesy this will not be the last time that Calvin Witcher is with
back.
Us. Would you please tell him thank you for being
back.
Here today? Thank you for tuning in to In the Now with Jim Swilley. Please check out everything else on our YouTube page, and we will see you next time. Peace.
See you next time.
Good.
Good.
We just got about 5 minutes. You got anything you want to share with anybody? Anything you want to say? And then we'll, because we have to tear down. But and then I know you've got to move on with your day. Or have you said it all? You got anything else?
You know, honestly, I feel like, you know, you guys know me by now. I feel like this is my family. So right. And so I will say, if anything, I've actually spent several hours processing what do I need to hear. And honestly, most of the conversation was transitionary, especially for you. I would say mostly for ministry. What? And again, Bishop and I have not spoken. I always have to do a disclaimer because people think that you stalk people. But a lot of it was really for you and for the collective here, not specifically individual. And I felt that I needed to say that only because, again, if Spirit doesn't say a specific word, it has nothing to do with Spirit doesn't understand. I think that there's enough information to glean today to keep you working on your spiritual journey for the next 5 years. But a lot of it was with the body here, in the sense of Spirit kept saying a time of rest. For whatever that is for with the body, that this particular season that you all are going into, it's transitionary, yes, but it's almost going to feel like a space of inactivity, to regroup, to refocus, to reshift. I don't know if there are plans in place right now. I don't know if there's anything that's going on. But it came, I have to say it like I see it. But it almost felt like the whole boat was having to stop in order to shift in a different direction. And in that process of shifting, it almost seemed like Spirit needed to say with you, definitely with the people, that this is not the end, that this is part of the next phase of your journey, but it was a lot of heavy rest energy. Definitely over the next 7 months. I saw that really, really strong. So I will say, however way the tides are shifting with you, it's funny you mentioned the prophecy, because actually Spirit told me to bring some of that up, that those words will still come through your ministry and your life. Whatever weariness, whatever weird space that you've been in that regard of maybe not feeling like that's going to come to pass, again, especially over the next 7 months, is to not lose sight of that. I feel like you're going to go through this cocoon state, ministerially speaking, where it's almost that people have to say, well, what happened? What did they go? It's not as out there as much. And it's, I feel like Spirit is kind of bringing you back in to do surgery. And it's interesting to see, or to see it how I see it, because I see it as in a radical rebranding, reformation side of things to push you into this different space. I feel like you've a different space that, to not discredit anything that you've gone through. And it's so funny because you even talked to me about things. I'm like, oh, you did that? That's great. But that which you have dreamed about has not been experienced yet. And that's what Spirit was saying. And all of the wonderful experiences of the past, that was still not it. And it seems odd to say that when there's been so much success. And it seems interesting to say that when I also am on another level saying there's going to be a pause. The pause is to reflect. The pause is to regroup you. The pause is to stabilize you, especially family side of things, and to not lose focus of that experience. Nothing is lost. Nothing is missing. There's a place of wholeness that's coming through that. And all will be well. All is well. But I will say over the next 7 months, make sure that you probably need to replay this as a remembrance, that this is still good, we're still moving forward, and what is to come is already there. This is just the next step of the journey.
I love it. Yep. Received.
Yep. So, I said I didn't have individuals, then this happens. You, sir, right here on the end, you definitely have a, you're coming up again, my dear, and I love it. I don't know, you weren't here the last time, I don't think. Maybe you were here, it doesn't really matter, but you have a pretty direct prophetic gifting on you as well that I will say needs to be cultivated in a level of pulling outside of where you think it should be. And I think that, I don't even know if you're here, but I think you needed to be here to hear me say this to you right now, that you need to explore even greater levels of who you are in that. This is outside of anything you do professionally, and the prophetic doesn't really care on that side of things, at least not right now. What you're going to do is meant to be prophetically legacy-driven with the generation. And so a lot of it is reshifting your focus right now, reshifting your thinking process. I feel like you don't have a lot of filters from the old tongue, as I would call it, but don't allow that to shape where you're going moving forward, especially when it comes to family. I feel like it may be a little shift away from that, but it's okay. It's solid. It will be necessary. Don't let that be a distraction to you. Sometimes it is the kind of a pulling away in order to get us where we need to be, but there is a very strong prophetic level. It is going to shift you over the next 3 years, so I would just say be ready and be okay for that. I will say your support system, family aside, is going to be extremely key for you. And this has nothing to do with there's no family support, but that is to say that this next voice that needs to come through you needs to come through unfiltered. So I would say watch that the next 3 years with you. Be okay with change, especially, I don't know if you're in school right now, whatever the plans are, just, if I can prophetically mentor you right now, be okay with things shifting. Even if they're, if it costs you money, if it costs you investment of time you've put in right now, every move is a yes. When you hear it, it's a yes. And that's going to seem extremely radical. I know it because I've been there and I've done it. It's going to seem off. So you may need to get the audio on this too to remind you when that happens. Huh. I was supposed to be doing this. I put this all this money, and now Spirit has shifted me in a different direction. Honor that. Okay? Okay. That's all I got right now.
Good. Floyd, you got some extensions? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Movie didn't start till 1:45.
Oh. Movie. Oh, we're good?
Yeah, we're good. good.
I feel like I need to pose this in a question. Thank you. It is 1, 2, 3. I feel like it's from row 3 back. Speaking of loved ones that have recently passed, did someone just have someone pass, oh gosh, the last 6 months or so? 1, 2, 3. Because I'm getting I feel like I'm getting 3 people now. 2 fathers and a motherly figure. And it's interesting because they're all talking at the same time, so we'll have to allow me to translate. I feel like there's 2 over here and like 1 over here. I feel like the 1 over here is probably not going to say anything right now, but that's fine. So maybe it's a straight shot through here. Could you tell me who it is? Is it you? Yes, with the pink, black mother? Okay, mother. When did she pass? Thanksgiving? Yeah, that's about right. Okay. I'm going to bridge here with that. And this is interesting. This has nothing to do with whether they knew each other or not, but it's like the voice of many waters. When they speak collectively sometimes to express unity. That's the best way I can say it, because we don't have a lot of hangups. Oh, they don't have a lot of hangups like we do here. And so that's that. There is still 1 other person. I'll get to you in a moment. But now I'll break it up. Your mom is going to be with you for a while. Dad? Yes, dad. And dad also. Okay, so mom on your side has some other things family-wise that she is sorting out still. So there seems like dad is mostly with you, mom is with family. There's a lot of things that mom is saying regarding, this is not how I wanted to leave my family. That's how she's wording it with me. And so she's going to spend the next couple of years somewhere 4 years or so, sorting things out in that sense. Very much like she would have done in the living space of her life, but she's going to continue doing that. And that's really okay. She's going to not just be with you and speaking with you, but some other family members. I'm seeing a lot of activity specifically with cousins. I don't know what's happening with the cousins on that side of things. And definitely regarding the children. So I will say for you, switching hats for a moment, mentoring, allow that communication to happen with your family that says mom is still present with us. And the reason that she is here, she will leave once things are settled, but it's very unsettled right now. Not in a bad way, not a fight, not a whatever, but she is almost like a integration is how I see it. Very integrative. Not bad, not a fight. It's almost like I need to weave my energy into the family. Like the solidifying thing. So I would say expect for her to be around for the next couple of years as of a sign of affection and love with you. Okay?
Let me interpret something. You said voice of many waters. You're picking up. There's a lot of energy in here, not just the 3 rows back, because Sam just had the year anniversary of his mom's passing. Your sister passed within the last 6 months.
Thank you.
Ken's dad did. So I'm not saying you're, I'm just trying to help interpret because if there are loved ones speaking, you're probably if this is a chance for them to speak.
It happens.
That's gonna get jammed real quick because a lot of people have a lot of things to say. But I just want you to know it's not just limited. I know you gestured toward Ken because he did just lose his dad.
Okay.
But it's like there's a lot of it going here. So I just want to give you some clarity.
No, that's perfect because it is a lot.
that's why you're right here in many waters.
Yes. So. If anything, if it helps you out for a little bit of training, which you don't, didn't necessarily come for, it's like white noise, it's like everyone's speaking. It's interesting. It's fun. But I will say this: collectively, it's all in the space of love. It's all in the space of love. Was there someone over here that had a passing too recently?
It wasn't within. I think the energy you're picking up on that. Sam like was real
when
close
I say recent,
mom,
I mean they went 2 years or so.
I think you just celebrated the year anniversary of that. So it was a 2
2 years.
Good Lord, I can't believe it's been 2 years.
Thank you.
But I know you just posted that, so I knew it came up again recently.
Okay.
And that's why that energy spiked just then. I mean, the thing is, we've all got loved ones,
right?
But But
that's good.
You know, there's a lot of people who are really close to people have lost people
right.
in recent times.
To me, 2 years is still recent. So the 2 years with mom, yes. Now, mom has, in a sense, transitioned on. But she did that because she was able to trust you and what was happening. So she didn't need to necessarily be here. Okay, and that's not to take away that if parents are here or loved ones are here, that there's a lack of trust. But with you specifically, she's saying that she could trust you to be able to run things. And so she was able to find the rest and peace to move on. And that's even sometimes where you kind of wish she was still present, you kind of have already know, like, she's good. She's great. And it hasn't been a lot of doors opening and birds flying out of the air. And you're like, oh, mom. But it's been very much a remembrance of her saying that she's good, she's well, but also good for you. So she's very proud of you regarding that. But I will say that she is definitely in, you know, the transitionary state, wherever that is. One of the heavens, the paradise, so to speak. But she is saying very much with you, you're good, she's good, well done. She loves you. Never forget that. And even though in energetic form, she is moving on to new missions. She's moving on to new missions. And that's to be celebrated, although I know, that's sad sometimes, and I get that, right? So,
no, I think you feel it on two tracks. It's like you're happy that they're at peace. You're not worried about them, but you still feel the pain. You don't want them to come back and suffer, but you're really feeling two things. It's like, I don't want them here, but I miss them. And, and it's like sometimes it's confusing.
Right.
Which thing do I feel? You know, like I don't want them here in pain or suffering or whatever. And there's a lot of people who have imminent things. I know you don't say a lot about it, but your sister and Peyton's grandmother. Grandfather. And so there's a lot of, if we were going to open this, we should have opened it an hour ago because there's
a lot.
Sorry,
yeah.
But I can verify what you just said to Sammy. It is true.
Okay.
And she can say, I think you'll understand what I mean by this. She can say, I'm proud of you now in ways that her religion didn't allow her to say when she was here. Oh. And now she knows the truth. It's like, I've told this before, but I don't get hate mail now. This little thing that somebody wrote was really an aberration at this point. But there was a time when I was on TV a lot, I was getting just so much hate mail, is unbelievable. And it was not a dream, I had a visitation with my four grandparents. I mean, I just woke up, I was in bed, and I woke up, and they were like the four, it wasn't like spooky or anything, it was the four of them sitting at a table, and they looked like they would have looked when I was about 12, and they were just talking to me. They were asking, how's things going on with your church, whatever, and I said, well, I don't know if y'all heard this, but you know, I told them about me coming out and all that had happened. And all four of my grandparents were Church of God and old school. And my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, who I adored, prefaced nearly every statement with, the Bible speaks out against that. No matter what it was, the Bible was against it. I think she even made up stuff the Bible didn't even say. I'm like, grandmother, I don't think that's in there. The Bible speaks out about boys that sass their grandmother. I mean, that was the way. So that was Addie Mae's M.O. And what she said to me, I remember her sitting there and she had her hair piled up on top of her head like she did when I was a kid. And she looked at me and she said, Jim Earle, people on that side care about stuff like that, but on this side, none of that stuff even matters. And when she said that, I was free. It didn't matter if what anybody said. That's why I could look at that thing somebody wrote to me today and I thought, Addie Mae already said, I'm good. And it's like I felt oppression come off me. And she could say things to me in ways that even my parents couldn't say because they're still working through, you know, what people think and that kind of stuff. She's like, look, I'm telling you, on this side, it's completely immaterial. And I was like, thank you, grandmother. I'm good to go. And they disappeared. And like nobody can ever take that away from me. I'm like, I was bulletproof after that. Yeah. And you can say, did you hear that from God? No, I heard it from my grandmother.
Your grandmother.
I didn't need God to tell me that. I needed my fundamentalist, judgmental grandmother to say, you're good. And nobody else needed to say anything. It's like she had spoken because of my four grandparents. She was my favorite. She had spoken for them all. And it was sort of like, you're good. We love you. We know you're gay. Carry on. And I'm like, okay then. Well, I guess we're good. So that's very interesting that you said that. I'm, I, Don't be troubled by any of this. This is, you know.
Oh, please don't be troubled, because I will say,
tell Ken something.
I have something for Ken.
Because I know you're feeling.
I always say, because sometimes we have this concept that they're gone and beyond into the space of heaven, and I have come to learn over the years that most of us don't want that. Most of us don't want to imagine our loved ones going somewhere else and never to experience them again. So when Spirit had me start to embrace more the mediumship thing, I started to understand the revelation of it, which is that we think about our loved ones just like we think of Spirit, that we don't ever want Spirit to go somewhere to then just return when we need Spirit.
Where can I go from your presence?
Where can I go from your presence? You know, and so same way, it's never meant to be spooky. Your loved ones, I promise you, are not stalking you in awkward times of your life. But they are there to still give hope and guidance in a lot of different ways. My grandmother, your dad, have a lot of the same energy. So hopefully I can translate this without crying. My grandmother, she passed in 2009, and she comes and goes. She comes and goes. And it's weird because I don't have a lot of the experience. I think like last time with you, I said, oh, she's, you know, I think it's your mom, right? There was there with the Cardinals, where it's like this ever-present energy. She comes and she goes. So when it happens, you feel you're between feelings a lot of times, where it's like, well, I felt you today. Well, where'd you go tomorrow? Am I making this up? I feel like your dad has needed to tell me that to translate it in that imagery, that he's here and then he's not. He's here and then he's not. And some of this is the transition of helping mend the process. Also, Dad understands the nature. If I could, again, relate it back to my grandmother, I was grandmother's favorite. And it's okay. You love all your kids the same, but you have favorites. It's true. Very much like, you know, David and I'm the apple of God's eye kind of experience. Very much like that. So some of it's very much, again, kind of a piggybacking off of the trust factor that I don't need to be here because you have it, but at some point, my journey will continue. So doing this stage right now, that's what's happening quite a bit of time. Almost like I didn't lose my dad, but I lost my best friend kind of energy. So in that case, Dad needs to be present with you, but almost like this process of healthy spiritual weaning of the journey to empower you. Interesting enough, he says a lot of why he's here right now is to continue to pull the passion mission out of you in a way that is, how he is saying it, not quite realized yet. And call him a cheerleader, call him an instigator, all of the above, it's really good. But he's really saying, like, I am going to be here until you are here. Until all of you is here. In your glory, in your genius, in your power, and then I can say, good, well done. And so think of him almost like an invisible life coach that's there. And when he's silent, it's not that he's silent, it's that you've got it and that you're working through it, but he's watching.
He was pretty quiet when he was on this side, so I'd be surprised if he was more talkative than that. But
yeah, so very much present-driven, very quiet-driven, but very present in nature. So I will say he's completely there, right? He's actually, you know, very much here. Actually, everybody's here right now. It's fun. So don't lose sight of that. And the comfort is he is here as long as you need him to be here. If I can give the other translation of what that usually means when Spirit says that, is when you're ready to let go and release, then he will release. But there's consolation that says, he's fine if you're fine.
Yeah.
And there's no rush, there's no hurry, there's no commandment or order for that process to happen.
I love it.
I say that because I need to give that. There's no, you need to let him go. He's good. Sometimes I will say that. If like I said in your case, like, on to do the work, right? In your case, he's the ever-present help. He's your paracletus. He's your spirit to be there with you. It's okay? If you need him for 10, 25 years, he's good. Just allow that process to happen. And I will say don't be afraid, not that you are, but don't be afraid to have that communication. Even in the times you do not feel him. Okay? There's a, I'll say this, I'm going to shut up. There's a term in psychology called the observer effect. And what they do is that whenever they're trying to get people to perform a little bit better, they put up those windows and they say, we are observing you, we're watching you. The whole purpose is not that we don't trust you. The purpose is that we're trying to get more out of you. We're trying to push it out of you. That's where he is with you right now. Not that it's bad, but just there's some things that are still coming through you that he wants to continue to say, you've got this. You know, you got it, boo-boo. It's like you just keep on doing it. You've got it. So think of him like that.
Okay? I love it. Brother Calvin Witcher. Yeah. Excellent. I'll tell you this, once some of this has been stirred up, don't be surprised if you don't get some signals from the other side.
Yeah, it's got
to I don't have time to go into it, but Avery had a thing happen recently because her mom had given her, was it your Barbies away? Like, and it was like she was an adult. It just bothered her that she didn't ask her if it was okay. You know, it's like, I can't believe you just did that. And so her mom, it's kind of an interesting story. She can tell it sometime. Her mom, like, led her to an antique store that had those same dolls there. And it was like, from the other side, she apologized and gave them back and said, I should have asked first. You say, that's a coincidence? Fine. If you want to believe that, fine. But there are little signposts that let you know the other side is very real and they're, you know, they're alive and talking to you.
And I'll come back and I'll just do like a dedicated time.
We'll do that. Good. People need that. It's very comforting and it's good. I love it. I love it, I love it, I love it. Let's all stand. We could stay here all day.
As long as they're Oreos. Just saying.
Very quickly, let's run this, and then I'll speak a blessing on you. And if we can have some extra help to tear down, that'll make the transition go quicker. Go ahead, please.
Contributing to Metron is quick and easy.
Easy peasy.
Simply text the amount you would like to give.
Simply.
To 404-620-5044. And now, you can give anytime by texting this number. You will then receive a one-time registration form that links your phone number and opens your account at SimpleGive. Complete the form, and you will then receive a successful registration and donation page. For additional information on your account, visit missionthenow.com and click the Support tab. Then, My Online Donation. When you contribute to Metron, you're also supporting the charity or organization of the month.
This month, we're giving to the movement. You know that.
Thank you for your investment
in Metron.
If you're
making a check, make it to JESM. And if you're cash, just pay it forward. You might want to bless Prophet Calvin. You might want to bless Judah. Tell Judah how much you appreciate him being today.
I'm so sorry.
Got books.
What you got?
Speaking of paying it forward, I actually brought books that I would like to give and sow a seed into your life. So feel free to take what you want back there. It's completely free from our ministry to yours.
You have a table back there set up?
I think so.
Okay. Go back there and meet people at the table. Now, he's saying he's giving it to you free. If you want to bless him, you're not paying for the book, but you can.
Or give it
to
somebody that you know. Go meet him. That is on us.
It'll help you go to the table. Otherwise, somebody will catch you here, and nobody will see you out there. I'm telling you, you have to go out there, or you get caught here. All right. So bless them. Tell Judah much. We appreciate him being there today. It was awesome. 5:00 tonight at the Movement in East Atlanta. It's very easy to find. They're in a Presbyterian church where they meet. They've got a lot of favor there. Doc, always great to have you. Peace on everybody. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being open. And be prepared for the best week of your life. This is one of the best days we've ever had at Metron. So take this energy with you. Take it to the next level. Bye. I love you.